So it's been a minute, man. Pastor Jenny asked me like 2 weeks ago if I'd preach while she was in Portland, I guess, for MFI. And so I didn't have a lot of time to prepare, so I totally relied on the Holy Spirit for this one. And, you know, he showed up, gave me a word, so I'm just going to share it with y'all. So what kind of brought this message on is there's this guy from my work, and he is the most arrogant, like, boastful guy I've ever met, okay? I'm going to give you a few stories just to kind of reference it about boasting and bragging and stuff like that. So this guy, he's been at the job for 20 years. Like, he's the oldest employee there, has the most experience, and the way he tells it, I mean, he's the best to ever do it. You know what I mean? Like, it's like Joe Montana, Michael Jordan, Babe Ruth, and this guy. Like, he's elevated himself up there with the greats, and he is the GOAT in his eyes. So, you know, I like to mess with him because he does it so much. And it's like, it's not just boasting, but it's the one-upping, too. You know what a one-upper is? Y'all know anybody that one-ups you every time you try and tell them something? So, you know, being the guy that I am, I like to exploit that, right? Like, I know he's going to one-up me, so I just throw something crazy out there. And so the other day we were talking about football in high school, right? I played football in high school. I was a lineman, offensive and defensive, so I wasn't very fast, right? So we were talking, and I was like, yeah, man, when I was in high school, they timed me for 40. It was like a 4.42. And from the other side of the room, he comes over. He's like, hey, y'all talking about football? Like, yeah, man. I was like, I was just telling them that I ran a 4.42 in high school. He's like, that's nothing, dude. That's nothing. I ran a 4.25 in high school. I was the fastest guy in my county, fastest guy in the state. I had all these track and field. I'm like, bro, no, you didn't. No. Like, there's NFL running backs that don't run 4.25s. Like, most NFL running backs don't run a 4.25. I think the fastest 40 time in NFL combine history was like, what was it? Like a four, DJ's back there, so you know. It was like a 4.21. Yeah, right. That is ridiculously fast. And so what made it even more, like, off the wall is he totally skipped by the fact that I said I ran a 4.4. Like, he didn't look at me, like, look at me, and be like, no, you didn't, bro. No, he just skipped straight to the 1-up. Like, went straight to the 1-up. And, you know, the 4.25 or whatever. And so, you know, I do this all the time. The other day I was like, man, I ate 3 burritos from Moe's. He's like, that's nothing. I've eaten 5. Like, bro, you do this every time. Like, just let me have my moment. But he, you know, and then at work, like I said, he's the best to ever do it. He's the best crater there is. You know, we build shipping crates, so he is the best to ever do it. And we went to a job site one time. It was the second day there. So it was me and him the first day. And, of course, you know, the whole time he's pumping himself up to the customer like, oh, I do this all the time. I'm the best at ProPack. I'm the best to ever do it. Okay? And so we get back there the second day, and the customer comes up to him. And he's like, hey, there's some problems with the crates you build. He's like, no way. There's no way. I put those together. He's like, no, I'm telling you, like, look, and came over there, showed him, and, you know, I'm sitting over there knowing that I didn't do it. You know, that was the more important thing, is to know I didn't do it. And so he's showing, and this guy, he just doesn't believe it. He's like, no, there's no way. I can't, I would never do that. I would never do it. And the guy's like, I watched you do it. Like, I know you did it. And he's just, like, he's elevated himself so high that he just cannot make mistakes. And so the customer walks off. And I'm thinking, you know, he's humbled himself, right? This guy just totally humbled. He goes, even the best make mistakes sometimes. And then keeps it pushing. I'm just like, bro, just humble yourself. Just one time, man. Just one time. And so, you know, as a child, we're taught not to brag, right? Like, it's annoying. It's like one of the most annoying things you can hear somebody do. But, you know, we're all guilty of doing it. I've bragged about myself inadvertently and sometimes completely blatantly. You know, but it's boasting is a symptom of pride, right? When you boast in yourself, you're elevating yourself. You're trying to make others admire you as much as you admire you. You know what I mean? So boasting and bragging, you know, it's annoying. You're seeking praise for yourself. You know, you just want people to affirm you and to like you, right? So when we think of an aspect, like, that's sinful. That's pride is sin. You know, God's pretty clear about that. And so boasting, meaning that you're elevating yourself and putting yourself before God, that's sinful. We can all agree on that. But in 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about a different type of boasting. And so he calls it boasting in the Lord. So I'm going to read, it's 1 Corinthians 1, 18 through 31. And actually, if you were here on Sunday, Pastor Gilbert used this in his message, which if you were there for that message, it was fire. Like, it was good. So good. I've actually got one of his quotes written down there. I'll talk about it later. So it's 1 Corinthians 1, 18 through 31, and we'll kind of break it down a little bit. I'm going to get through the first few verses, but it says, the title is The Wisdom of God. And so it says, the message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction, but we who are being saved know it is the very way, very power of God. As the scriptures say, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the intelligent. So where does this lead the philosophers, the scholars, the world's brilliant debaters? God has made the wisdom of this world look foolish. So basically, he's checking you. You know what I mean? You just got checked by God. You know, you think you're up here. God says, nah. No, bro. So since God, in his wisdom, saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom, he has used our foolish preaching, which is what I'm doing tonight, to save those who believe. It is foolish to the Jews who ask for signs from heaven, and it is foolish to the Greeks who seek human wisdom. So when we preach that Christ was crucified, the Jews are offended, and the Gentiles say it's all nonsense. But to those called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. This foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest of human plans, and God's weakness is stronger than the greatest of human strengths. All right, and in verse 26, this is where it gets good, right? When we talk about boasting in the Lord, you know, instead of drawing attention to ourselves, we're diverting all the attention to God, okay? So when we boast in ourselves, we're taking the attention away from God and putting it on ourselves. When we boast in the Lord, we're putting the attention all on God and taking away the attention from ourselves. So Paul goes on to talk about this, and I'll read it in just a second. But why is that important? Why is it important to boast in the Lord? Because really it shows how much we value Christ. It shows how much anybody who's very boastful thinks very highly of themselves. So when you boast in the Lord, you're just showing his true value in your life. Like, he is the highest value in your life. And so, you know, when you ask me what my best quality is, I mean, I would say my beard, or my collection of plaid shirts, because I have a ton of them. That was for Gafar. But I would say no, that's not my best quality. The best quality of my life is Jesus. And the best quality of any believer's life is Jesus. And so when you have that, like, train of thought, when you start thinking that way, all of your accomplishments no longer are on you. You divert the attention from yourself and put it all in God. You know, you've seen athletes, when they win the Super Bowl or when they have a great game, they say, I want to thank God, right? You don't have to have a public platform. You don't have to be famous. You don't have to be, you know, a famous figure or whatever to attribute your success and all of that to God. Like, you just don't have to be that. You don't have to be that person. Everyone can do it. Boasting in the Lord is fun. It's one of my favorite things to do, right? Because we get to brag about how good God is. We get to brag about how faithful he is. And so you go on to verse 26, and the first in the New Living Translation, the first word it says is remember, dear brothers and sisters. So it says remember. And I don't think that was put in there by accident. I think God really wanted us to remember this. You know, this is the Spirit of God speaking through Paul to generations to come, generations of believers and non-believers. And so he says, remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you are wise in the world's eyes or powerful or wealthy. I was none of those before Christ. Still not really wealthy at all, but or powerful. But I like to think that God has given me wisdom, some wisdom. I don't always make the wisest decisions, but I feel like I always have a source. you know, when I don't know what I'm doing. And so it says, remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you are wise in the world's eyes or powerful or wealthy when God called you. Instead, God chose things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. As a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God. Just can't do it. There's nothing that you've done or you'll ever do that is going to compare to anything he's done. Nothing. So God God has united you with Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made him to be wisdom itself. Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy, and he freed us from sin. Therefore, as the scriptures say, if you want to boast, boast only about the Lord. So that's kind of what we're going to be talking about in our tea times tonight, right? We're going to get an opportunity to boast in the Lord. We're going to boast about what he's done in your life, where he's brought you, sin that he's helped you overcome. You know, it's going to be kind of like a gratitude session, but we're just going to brag on God, dote on God. I like to dote on my wife. I think she's the most beautiful thing ever. I think she's smart. You know, she's got her master's degree. She's brilliant, right? Like, I can go on all day. We're buying a house right now, and right? See, that's one of the things that I can boast in the Lord on. Because let me tell you, 6 years ago I was homeless, and that's no joke. Like, that is no joke. Legit homeless. And 6 years later, by God working some miracle in my checking account and my credit score, when I found out that I was even eligible to buy a house, I found out at work, I had to turn the saw off. I walked to the bathroom, I sat down and cried. I'm serious. And it was just the pre-qualification. I didn't even get legit told I could, you know, have the money. They're like, well, you probably could. And I was like, that's enough for me. I just, you know, because, I mean, when I look back on my life, I mean, like, that is really something that I can boast in the Lord about. Like, just to see where he's brought me in 6 years. And so, you know, and there's times I felt hopeless. The majority of my life in sin, I felt hopeless. And I've been called hopeless. And there is something that PG said on Sunday that was profound, right? He said, calling someone hopeless is an insult to the power of God. I wrote that down, underlined it, circled it as many times as I could, because, you know, being hopeless isn't really that bad of a place to be, because that's where God moves. You know what I'm saying? When there's nowhere else to turn, when there's no hope left, and God comes in and offers you hope, that's a beautiful place. Same with brokenness. That's where if someone really wants help, like when I worked at Better Way, if somebody really wants help with their addiction, they've got to be completely broken. They got to know that they have no other options. They've exhausted every option they have. You know, whatever they do in their life right now, it's not working. And that then I can help them. I can't help somebody that knows it all. You know what I mean? Like, I like my buddy at work. Like, he's cool, you know, but I mean, I don't really know if I could ever humble him. You know, I don't know if I can help him with that. But what I can do is offer people hope through what I've overcome. And you can offer people hope through what you've overcome. That's the cool thing about a testimony, or that's the cool thing about boasting in the Lord, is it gives you an opportunity to share hope with somebody. You're basically a hope dealer. Okay? I know that's corny, right? You know, I went from selling dope to selling hope. In Jesus' name. Yeah. He will, man. I'm telling you. God is so good, dude. It's crazy. You know, and so, you know, if this is you, like, if you've ever felt hopeless or you've been told you're hopeless, you know, one of the more damaging things that can happen to a young believer is church hurt. I don't know if you're familiar with that term, but it's where someone in the church, or maybe like a pastor or somebody in a leadership position, says something to you that can really damage you. You know, it might be, you know, it might not. I'll give you an example. Okay, so I was in high school. I was dating this girl, and I was not a Christian, and she was. And so I went to church with her on Sundays, right? Well, I wasn't a Christian, so I didn't bring my Bible. I didn't sing. You know, I stood up because everyone else did. But, I mean, I was really just there to be with her. I mean, I wasn't really there to learn the word. And so her father was a deacon in the church. And so one night he brought me in there, and he made us break up. And so when I asked him why, he's like, he wouldn't give me a direct answer, but when I spoke to the youth pastor, they were really good friends. I was like, man, I don't understand. I'm trying to do right, but, you know, I mean, I just don't understand what's going on with this. And the girl's father, this was his exact words, that I was not a good enough Christian to date his daughter. And so in my mind, in my 16, 17-year-old mind, immediately the enemy took hold right there. He's like, so being a Christian means you have to be good enough. And if that's the case, like, I'm not going to do it. Like, I can't do that. Like, if all Christianity is just a list of stuff I can't do, like, I'm failing at that every time, you know. And I carried that with me for a long time. I didn't want anything to do with the church. Nothing. I thought they were all judgmental. They were all, you know, they all thought they were better than me because they had it together. Or whatever, but that can really leave you in spiritual hopelessness. Like you don't really feel like you belong. And so, you know, that's one of the many ways that hopelessness can be proclaimed over your life is in that way. But, you know, sometimes it's your family that says it. You know, when I was in my addiction, my family, half of my family, I haven't seen them in 8 or 9 years, completely lost hope in me. It doesn't matter what I'm doing now. They won't have anything to do with me. And that's okay. Like, I'm not hurt by it. Like, I understand I hurt them, but they completely lost hope in me. They viewed me as hopeless. And, you know, if God gave you hope, if God helped you to overcome something, then you have every reason in the world to boast in Him. And so, tonight, you know, I was going to make this brief. I told Pastor Jenny, I was like, I ain't got a full sermon. This is going to be like 15 minutes, but, that's what we're going to talk about in Tea Times. We're going to talk about if you have ever felt hopeless in your life, if you feel hopeless now, if anybody has ever told you were hopeless, if anybody ever said, you know, there's no hope for him, he's never going to get it right, he's always going to be this way, whatever. And I'm here to proclaim this over your life before you go into Tea Times. That is a lie. That is a lie from the enemy. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. You have, I mean, the same hope that I have, the same hope that Zach, I mean, all that is offered through Jesus. And so tonight, that's what we're going to talk about. And then we're also going to talk about just getting an opportunity to boast in the Lord. You know, you can do that through your testimony. You can do that. You know, one of the big things that people see in my life, and I'm not always as vocal about my Christianity as I probably should be, especially at work, just because, you know, it's hard to balance being professional and, you know, this, that, and the other. You know, I'm there to work. But one thing that people have noticed about me is that I have peace. Even in the midst of conflict, I have peace. And that is that's a way to boast in the Lord without even opening your mouth. Just being peaceful. And so, you know, your leaders are kind of coach you through that. Like how to boast in the Lord and how to brag in the Lord. And it's something that that I feel is very important. And apparently Paul did too, because he told us to remember it. You know, he used the word remember. So tonight in Tea Times, we're just gonna do that. So that's really all I got. Y'all wanna squat up? Okay. All right.